It was about 6 p.m. when my pager went off. Remember those things, those pagers? I was a hospital chaplain resident, also known as a chaplain in training in Brooklyn, New York, and I was on call overnight, which meant I stayed at the hospital overnight and received automatic pages for every death, every cardiac arrest, every pregnancy-related crisis, and any other requests from staff or patients for a chaplain. I received an average of roughly 2 to 4 calls a night. This particular night, an unusually jostled nurse was on the other end of the first page that came in. She was calling from a day surgery unit. These were usually pretty low-risk procedures, so when a man died unexpectedly during a routine heart procedure, it shook everyone. She asked me to come immediately, as the daughter of the man was, quote, out of control, end quote. I arrived to find a white woman in her 50s, indeed, out of control, throwing herself against the walls of the room she was in and pounding them in her grief, yelling, no, 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 and why, at me, at God, and later at her father's body. Grief and shock had left her in a bewildered rage at all of us. Another night, another hospital room. It had been decades since their divorce. He had remarried and lived a gorgeously full life since then. A love beyond what he knew could be real. And still, when the mother of his children died, he felt a grief he didn't know he still had. He was back in the days and weeks following her request for a divorce. He remembered her voice, what it smelled like that summer day, and the exact drink he craved when he hung up. Mostly, the question, why, had returned to haunt him with a vengeance. Why did she want a divorce? Why didn't he ask her? Why did he care so much after all of these years? Why? 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 When I worked as a hospital chaplain, the most common thing people asked me after the question of how I could possibly be the chaplain was, why? Why is this happening? Why did God do this to me? Why is this part of God's plan? Why? Why? And I didn't have an answer to that question. I didn't believe in a God with a predecided plan for each life, or a God who would foist suffering on anyone. I didn't even have the right theological logic to come up with these questions myself. And they also just felt way beyond my pay grade. And as my supervisor once said, it's not your job to give anyone a theological transplant. Their theology is serving a purpose in their lives, just as yours is. Even if I didn't like it. My job was to listen for that purpose behind the words and find a way to speak to it. Over and over again, I found myself with a new question to offer in response to this question of why. This was my question. Where is God in this? Where? In this moment? Where is God in this moment, in this hospital room, in this diagnosis, in this horror, in this grief? after she saw her father's body, we came back to the waiting room where her mother, now a widow after almost 60 years of marriage, was sitting quietly with her purse neatly tucked on her lap. The daughter raged on. The mother sat nearly silent. After some time, I began to ask them both about the man, the husband, the father who had died. The question I was really asking without asking was, where was God in this man's life? The body I had seen on the operating table turned into a beloved father and husband in the stories they wove. I remember almost nothing they said now. But I remember this one line from the mother as one of the most tender things anybody ever said in the hospital. She said, "I'm going to miss him complaining about how I made his tuna sandwiches too dry." Grief had transformed even the annoyance of his complaints into gratitude. Grief didn't diminish in gratitude's presence, but grief had company, holy company. God was so palpably present in that. "Where do you think God was in your divorce?" I asked in that other room on another night, down another hospital hallway. He looked at me with eyes wet with tears and began to tell me about his second wife, whom he never would have met if this divorce hadn't happened. And after some time, he told me about where God was even in that first marriage. And after some more time, where God was in this moment we were in. Tears continued. So did the grief. So did the gratitude. As one of Kayla's care team wisely noted the other day, as we were processing her death, grief has a way of welcoming all the grief of one's life. A friend's death means we say hello to the mother we once lost, and the others we once lost before that. Thank you, Sarah Kuhlman. You are. Yeah. In other words, we feel loss cumulatively. One loss triggering memories in our minds and bodies of another. But the good news is that I think gratitude is cumulative also. One gratitude leads to an opening in our beings towards God and to more gratitude. Grief and gratitude are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they can be exquisitely woven together. The Psalms are some of the best sacred models that we have of that weaving. Even the so-called Psalms of Lament hold in them gratitude for God. And the Psalms of Thanksgiving, like the Psalm we honor today, hold the knowing of grief and the loss of times when we didn't feel so close to God. This is why I love the Psalms. They are alive with the complicated reality of human experience and feeling. They know what Hermione had to say, that we can hold it all. I also love them because they are in and of themselves a ritual of gratitude. When we speak them, our mouths take on the shape of gratitude for God even when our hearts don't feel it yet. "I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart," says the psalmist. I have no idea what that writer's life was like. But I imagine it wasn't all that different in feeling than my own, or any of the beloveds I met in hospital rooms in Brooklyn, or any of ours. Thousands of years apart, we all surely know the ache of grief in our bones, though the causes were surely different. I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. Like the love Reverend Dr. Rebecca talked about last week, gratitude is not just a feeling. It too is a choice. And we have to practice making that choice through ritual. That's why we have the Psalms. They are like strength training for the muscle of praise and thanksgiving to God. I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. I don't know how many reps it will take you. We just say them until we can feel them. We praise God until we feel God, and then we might actually want to say the song and keep saying it. Beloveds, life is full of grief and loss. Even if you're not feeling it personally or acutely today, our country and our planet are swimming in it, and we are all swimming in it. My challenge to you is this. Instead of asking yourself why, ask yourself where this week. Where is God? Where is love? Where is new possibility? Where is subversive creation? And how can I be a part of it? When you get stuck, open up a Bible if you dare. Find a psalm. Read it. Or just say to yourself until you feel it, I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. I give you thanks, O God, with my whole heart. May it be so.